Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar, and it's also Erev Shavuos. Obviously, there must be some connection between Bamidbar and Erev Shavuos. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about why is it that we already had two opportunities to catch up with Eretz Yisrael. We could have caught up with Eretz Yisrael in Parshas Tazria Mitzayra, and we could have caught up with Eretz Yisrael in Parshas Bahar. Achrimos Kidoshim and Bahar Bichukosai. So we blew it twice. We blew it. Two opportunities we could have caught up. So I told you then it's because of the Haftorah. There are certain Haftorahs you are so critical to Yadus, you can't skip. And that's why. That's one answer. Another answer, it's probably more popular answer. We don't have time to go over. What it says in those haftorahs, are so critical, we can't skip it. No, so this year is because it's Rosh Chodesh. It was Erev Rosh Chodesh.
I know. What happens in the years when they're combined?
Then you do say it. No, then you say you do say it. We can't go to the calculation. You can't go to the calculation. Another time. We discussed this last time. There's a whole calculation of how it works out because it's also it's Rosh Chodesh. And you're missing, and you say the second after the first after another time. There's a whole cheshbon of what is it about. But in addition, really, the more partial reason why we did not catch up is because in a regular year, the parsha we lay before Matan Torah is Parshas Bamidbar. In fact, Chazal say, Tich leshana v'kila loisera, you're supposed to lay Parshas Bichukosai two Shabbosos before Matan Torah. Not three. See, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not that we're catching up with them. Just the opposite. We are on target. They have broken the speed limit. They've gone too fast. They've reached their destination too quickly. They have gone ahead of where they are supposed to be due to circumstance. It's only because due to circumstance that the way the calendar worked out, they have no choice but to already lane. They're laning Parshas Nosoi before Matan Torah. That's not ideal. The correct parsha for Matan Torah is Bamidbar. Bamidbar is the parasha that captures the essence of what Matan Torah is all about. So that's really the more posh.
Well, the kriya was set up after
exactly.
while we were in Golis.
In Eretz Yisrael, they were laying the 3-year cycle. In Eretz Yisrael, it was a 3-year cycle, not a 1-year cycle. So they have adapted our cycle. So just because they are in a situation where the calendar did not work out for them and they have to lay in an additional day, they get 1 week ahead, does not mean that we should go and catch up with them. The Ikur Kriya, like you said, is really the Kriya of Bavel. And the way the Kriya is arranged for us is that the parasha you lay before Matan Torah is Parshas Bamidbar. That's the correct parasha with the correct Haftorah. Everything here is in line for Shavuos, and that's what we normally would in a regular year. Happens to be, this year, it didn't work out. Just because it didn't work out for them doesn't mean that we should compromise and we should break the rules just to be consistent and work out with them. Okay, here by side. Okay, now let's discuss a couple of things. Bamidbar, Chumash, we're not just starting this week a new parish, we're starting this week a new Chumash, called Chumash Bamidbar. In Chazal, Chumash Bamidbar is called Chumash HaPikudim. Sefer HaPikudim. And in fact, in the English, the traditional English translation, I don't know about other languages, but probably from time immemorial, is numbers. Now, why is it called numbers? We call it Chumash Bamidbar. Chumash Bamidbar is the Chumash, the fifth of the Torah is divided into five parts, a Chumash. Either it means a book, a Chumash also comes from a Chumash. There are five books, so therefore it's called a Chumash, one-fifth. It should be called in English the desert, right? The book of the desert.
In English, names are
theme
names.
Exodus, right? So you have Genesis, the beginning. Bereshis also
not
means
because of the first word, because of the theme.
A theme. So Bereshis is Genesis. You can't really. The word Bereshis also means Genesis.
Yep.
Exodus. You're right. That's not the Elish Shemos. We call it Chumash Shemos. Chazal don't call it, Chazal do not call it the Chumash of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They call Chumash Shemos. They call by the first word. Okay, Vayikra, what do they call it?
Leviticus.
No, but that's in English. That means the Levites. The Levites, which refers to the Leviticus, the Levites who do the Avodah. But they that's the Medrash. Okay, so they're borrowing, the English is borrowing from Torah's Kohanim, which is really the Medrash Halacha. It's a Medrash Halacha. It's interesting where it comes from. All right, it doesn't mean anything. You want to go study how it came about, and then in English, and then wherever these things are rooted, why it was selected. But it's not really relevant for us. Chazal, we are focusing more on Chazal. And in Chazal's terminology, Chumash, what we call Chumash Bamidbar, they have a unique term called Chumash HaPikudim. The Chumash of the numbered. The word Pekida, it means simply to pokode Espinei Yisrael Leves Avoisam. It's based upon the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, I want you to count. I want you to count the Jewish people. It's not really in there. Here it's in Su'u. Later it says, Eile HaPikudim Asher Pokad Moshev Yaron Nesiei Yisrael. Even though the Chumash begins with the Midbar and begins with Su'u Esrosh Koladas B'nei Yisrael L'mishpich Ha'estam L'veis Avosam. And the word Pekida does not appear to come into play until much later on. Not so. It says here, Pekudehem, when we went by Yuvenei Ruvein B'char Yisrael, it says, Pekudehem L'matei Ruvein. So it begins at the second Aliyah. Does the word Pekida begin in the first Aliyah? Doesn't seem so. Now look very quickly. Okay, but we call it Chumash HaPikudim. And what does it mean literally? Pekudim means the number. Pekudim, the count. The count, L'matei Ruvein, Shisha V'arboim Elef, 46,000 V'chamesh Mios, 46,500. Where? Where?
When it lists the names of
Oh, you're right. You're right. Pasuk Gimel. The third pasuk. Ben Eshmishon of Amalekol, Yotzeitz of Yisrael. Tifkidu Oysam. Rabbi Mayevsky is correct, as always. Tifkidu Oysam. Litzivay Samatavir. Okay, fine. What does it mean, the word Pekid? It means to count. It means to count. But Rabbi Yisrael, it means something else. In fact, you have to correct me if I'm not mistaken. The first time the word Pekid is used is in Parshas, the Hashem, the laning of Parshas Vayera.
Oh, yeah.
The laning of Rosh Hashanah. Vahashem Pokad Esoro Kasher Omor. Vayas Hashem Lisoro Kasher Diber. What happened? Vatahar. Vatele Bain, she had a child. Now, look, let's study the word Pekid. Hashem Pokad. What does the word Pokad mean in the context of Parshas Vayera? It means to remember. Remember, Hashem remembered. It's the Yoim HaZikaron, the day of remembrance, Rosh Hashanah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zichronos. The Zichron Kol Chai Bo Lefonav, the remembrance of every living creature comes before Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the one word for the word remembrance, the word Pekida. You'll ask a question, what's the difference between the word Pekida and the word Zechira? That's a different topic of discussion, but it means to remember. What exactly did Hashem remember? The Pasuk says, Ka'asher Omor. Like what? So what did Hashem say? What did Hashem say? Show me the Pasuk, cite me chapter and verse. The answer is, when Hashem came to Hashem sent a malach to Avram Avinu. And the malach said to Sarah and Avram, Ayesar Rishtacha, Hineba Oyel. And he said to them, Lamoyed, Oshuve Lecha Ko'es Chaya, Ulisarabain. The malach revealed to Avram and Sarah, a man who was 99 years old, a woman who is 89 years old. Next year, in honor of your 100th birthday, in honor of your 90th birthday, you'll be presented with a present, a child. Hine vein l'sara ishtecha. Sarah didn't believe it. Sarah was a mitzachik. And Hashem then says, Malach, get out of the way. Arois, I want to speak to Avram Avinu myself. No malachim. Malachim out. I have a message. And he says, Lomazet Sochakos Soro Lamar. How could Soro laugh? You don't believe? Hayi Pole Me Hashem Dovar. Lamoyedo Shuve Lecho Koes Chaya Ulusorabe. The Ribboine Shalom himself. Okay, everybody say please. The Ribboine Shalom himself entered into the picture and he said, Hayi Pole Me Hashem Dovar. Is there something I can't do? Is there anything in this world I can't accomplish, I can't achieve? Hayipole, it's a very powerful word. Hayipole me Hashem davar, lamoyedo shuvei lecha, ko'es chaya, at a time of life, ulesarabein. V'Hashem pokad esoro, Hashem remembered soro, kasher amor. What did Hashem say? Hashem said, Hayipole me Hashem davar. This chumash in Chazal's terminology is called chumash hapikudim. It's the chumash of pikida. What's the first pikida in the Torah? Hayipole me Hashem davar. What is really the story of Bamidbar? Numbers? It always bothered me. Not really. You have numbers in the beginning. And they may have numbers somewhere else. In the end, you have a couple of counting. Pinchas. What about Nosoi? And what about Bahaloscha? And what about Chukas and Bolok? And what about Matas Mase? Numbers. I mean, yeah, there are numbers, but that's not the primary topic of Chumash Bamidbar. Yeah.
Transition,
okay. Matan Torah to Eretz Yisrael. Transition. Okay, that's one idea. That's a very beautiful idea. Transition. But there's something else about Bamidbar, about this whole parasha. Besides being transition, do you know what it's like to live in the desert? When I grew up, I always saw when we learned the Chumash Bamidbar. You know what the Chumash Bamidbar is? It's like you go up to upstate to the country and you drive around. Beautiful trees. There are no signs. The roads are a little dangerous. You know, one lane roads, you got to make sure you stay on the right, you know, not to get into an accident, chas v'shalom. You know, you just wander around aimlessly upstate on these winding roads. Midbar. There's no store. I don't know where. It's not like an Avenue J, you know. I don't know where Blue Ribbon is. I don't know, you know, where Milmart is on Avenue M. I don't know where these stores are. I don't know where Pomegranate is. You just wander around aimlessly on the country road. Big nice tree here and there's a house over there, a building over there. But you know, you drive around. It's the Midbar. It's not like you used to in Flatbush where there are street signs. It's like a guy told me yesterday, very funny, I thought it was funny, a guy is very, Rosh Hashiva, spaced out, an ilui, vatracht, doesn't know from this world. So he starts thinking, learning, happened very often, thinking, learning, he just goes for a walk. And then he wakes up, where am I? So he goes into those old, remember the old days of phone booths? He goes into a phone booth, and he dials zero, operator, I'm lost. I don't know where in the world I am. What do I do? So the operator says, Where are you? I'll tell you how to get home. Where are you? I don't know. Go outside the phone booth and go to a corner and look at the street sign. Look at those things on the corner, the street sign, and tell me what it says. And I'll tell you how to get home. So he goes outside and he comes back to the phone. He says, I'm at the corner of telephone and telephone. Telephone and telephone. That's a saga. Okay, that's what we think about a midbar. That's a midbar. That's not a midbar. You have to read this book I read recently about trying to find Har Sinai. The midbar is Saudi Arabia. The Pashto says when Klal Yisrael, they traveled in the midbar, they traveled in the desert of Saudi Arabia. The desert of Saudi Arabia is brutal. Brutal is not the word. And if you have to go online and learn about what it's like to live for even 5 minutes in the desert of Saudi Arabia. Absolutely nothing. You know what nothing means? Nothing. Sand. Just pure sand forever and ever. Nothing but sand. And brutal weather conditions. Strong winds blind you in a second. Intense heat. Intense cold. Nothing. You can't even imagine what it means, nothing. What it means, Midbar, until you read about what it means to just travel for 5 minutes in the desert in Saudi Arabia. Nothing. Could you imagine Klal Yisrael survived 40 years in the Midbar? 40 years they survived in this desert. And not only did they survive, they thrived. They developed. As Rabbi Chol said, they transitioned from being a primitive people to becoming ready to enter into Eretz Yisrael. They thrived. Their clothing didn't wear out. They had what to eat, what to drink. They had everything you can possibly imagine. They became great people. Hayipole me'ashem davar. Is there anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do? The story of Chumash Bamidbar is the story of the desert from beginning to end. The entire episode, here we are in the desert, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. Let's go to all of the stories, the Masois at the end of Parash Matas Masai, Battle of Muhammad's Midian, and the story of all the various stories. All the various stories that happened. The story of Chumash Bamidbar is the story of the Jewish people surviving 40 years in an environment of absolutely nothing. The chances of survival are zero. Zero, zero, zero. Make no mistake about it. And yet, Klal Yisrael miraculously didn't just survive, they thrived.
But we went to... I learned just the opposite. It wasn't like going through the... They were going through the desert. They had the Ananakovo.
Exactly.
They had the Mayim.
Exactly.
They had everything.
Exactly. How could that possibly... Exactly. Hashem gave them everything.
They went like... They marched.
Exactly.
They went like luxury. You know,
and go try to explain this to someone. Yeah. You go try to tell someone that we lived in the desert in Saudi Arabia for 40 years. What are you talking about? You can't live there for 5 minutes. No, we had Anani Yaakovo, and we had Mon, and we had Slav, and we had the Be'er Miriam, and we had whatever we want, whatever we thought, the food. What are you lying to me? What kind of nonsense are you telling me? The desert is the desert. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's nothing. There's snakes and scorpions, strong winds, intense heat. What are you talking about? Hayipolei me Hashem Dovar. Is there something HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do? This represents the ultimate expression of Hayipolei me Hashem Dovar. Chumash Bamidbar in Chazal's terminology is called the Chumash HaPikudim. Because the word Pikudim comes from the word Vahashem Pokad Esara Pikida. Pikida, what was the Kasher Omar? The word Pikida has different meanings. It can mean numbers. But Kasher Omar, the way Hashem explained the word Omar. What did Hashem say? Hayipole me Hashem Davar. This is what we are learning when we begin Chumash Bamidbar. We're learning the sugya of Pokad es Sora Kasher Omar. Hayipole me Hashem Davar. This is what Chumash Bamidbar is all about. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Now, we mentioned before that the end of the parasha, Bamidbar was strategically positioned to be an introduction into Matan Torah. It's the last thing that we take with us, on the tip of our tongues, we take with us as we come to Matan Torah. What is the very end of Chumash Parash Bamidbar? It's very bizarre. It's all about taking apart and putting in storage the Mishkan. And the last Aliyah of Parashas Bamidbar is describing in great detail how the Levim were instructed that when time to travel in the desert, you shall take apart the Mishkan, disassemble. Disassemble all the different parts of the Mishkan. And you shall cover this utensil with a garment of argamon, and this with the garment of tcheles, and this with tachash, and the order goes like this, and then the parasha is over. And no one should come and look and see as the Mishkan is disassembled. And then when we finish describing the Mishkan being taken apart into little pieces and being put away in storage, the Mokon that was built to be the place of Hashem's Shekhinah's resting place, after we put it away in the closet and it's all gone, B'chodesh ha'shlishi b'tzeis b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim b'yoyim ha'zabo mid'bar Sinai matan Torah. My high. And this was done by design. Chazal were clever. They knew what they were doing. They put parashas b'midbar right before matan Torah. What's the message? The message is, don't make a mistake and think. The only place where you will be zoiche, will you will merit to experience Kabbalah Satorah, as if you have a beautiful Beis Medrash with air conditioning, chandeliers, polished floors, coffee, cake, everything is nice and pretty. The Hakdama to Matan Torah is, take your Mishkan, the ultimate Mishkan, and by extension, all of the minor Mishkanis, the Mikdash Ma'at, and put it all away, and still there's going to be something called the Matan Torah. Matan Torah, do not make a mistake and think that Torah is only limited to, we always say the Torah was given in the desert. Why was it given in the desert? Because to teach you that it's not miyuchi to Eretz Yisrael. Don't make a mistake and think that the only place where Torah applies, only in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply in America. It doesn't apply when you live in Galus. That's a very big mistake. Torah is eternal. Torah has an application. There's an obligation to be observant no matter where you find yourselves in the world. But go even further than that. Okay, fine. Torah has applications in America. We have to be observant in America, in the Midbar, wherever we find ourselves in Galus. But we have to at least be in a community. You have to have at least a Beis Medrash. If I come to a new country and there's nothing, there's no community, there's no infrastructure, there's no beautiful Beis Medrash, I don't have all of the creature comforts that we need, we all need, we all want. I'm potur, I am exempt. The message of the end of Bamidbar is, not only am I giving you the Torah in the desert, don't even make a mistake and think that in the desert you need to have a building, you need to have shelter, you need to be protected. You chayiv to be observant, to apply the laws of the Torah in the desert, in a makam of nothingness. Even if your Mishkan, your Mikdash Ma'at, is put away in storage in some storage center. Even there, you have an obligation. B'chodesh hashlishi b'tzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Now, an extension of that idea, look at the very last pasuk. The last pasuk tells us, this is parasha, v'lo yovou l'rois kivala es ha'kodesh v'mesu. When the Levim would take the Mishkan apart, no one should look. And Rashi explained, it's not respectful. It's not respectful to you for you to see your Rosh Hashiva or your Rav in pajamas. Okay, it's not respectful. A Rosh Hashiva has to be dressed with dignity, a Rav with dignity. They say there of Shimon Schwab in the years of the war, Holocaust, when he was in Germany, he never wore pajamas. He went to sleep with his kapata, rabbinical garb, because he said, any moment they would come, the Germans, the Nazis would come to take me, to execute me, to hang me up in the street. I didn't want it to be a chil Hashem for the Rabbiner to be hanging in the streets from the light pole in his pajamas. So therefore, for the kavod of Hashem, for the honor of Hashem's Torah, who I represent, He never put on pajamas. He went to sleep in his rabbinical garments so that in case they come to take him in the middle of the night to kill him, to do'al kiddush Hashem, it should be l'chvoid Hashem with dignity. It's not their cheretz v'lo yovohu liroiz kivala es ha-kodesh v'mesu. That's the last line of the parasha. And then we go next day, only a few hours later, v'chodesh ha-shlishi l'tseis v'nishol m'yeretz mitzrayim v'yim is above midbar. So we come to Matan Torah. And what does it say about Matan Torah? V'chol ha'am royim es ha-kodesh. They didn't just see. They saw. They saw even what you don't normally see. They saw the sound. And whatever that means, it was very exotic, a very esoteric concept to be able to see the koilos. Look at the contrast between the end of Bamidbar and the beginning of Matan Torah. The end of Bamidbar is, don't look at something when Kedusha is not in a dignified matzav. Al achas kam v'kama, don't look at things that are not proper, look at all together. And then look at the difference of Matan Torah, where your koyach of ri'iyah is heightened, is magnified, where you're able to see things you can never fathom you're able to see. There's a contrast. And the contrast here is by design. In order to appreciate what it means, v'chol ha'am ro'im es ha'koylois, you have to have a counterbalance. Okay, there's always a very important benchmark. In life, in order to appreciate things, there has to be that balance. It's by design. The end of the Torah is coming to contrast. When Kedusha is not in a matzav of dignity, it's not there cheretz to look. And to the extreme now, when you have that benchmark of v'lo yovel lirois kivala es ha-kodesh, now only can you begin to appreciate v'chol ha'om royim es ha-kodesh. By design, these two psukim lead one into the other. They go into the other. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Let's talk about the way the kelim were taken apart. This is a very popular topic. I want to give a new, just a different, a little new take on. We once spoke about this before, maybe even twice. I want to give you a new take on this question, a very popular question, and many people have given different answers. Question is, why is it that in regard to all of the kelim of the Mishkan, the Torah tells you, take it apart, disassemble the Mishkan and put every utensil into its nice wrapping paper, into its bag. There are certain covering special materials. Some learn the big day sirod. Okay, some learn that the big day sirod were materials used as containers or special garments, special materials used to store the kelim of the Mishkan when they traveled in the desert. So it says, you take down the menorah, and you should put the menorah into this garment, and then on the very top, you put the tachash. Tachash was a special type of hide of an animal that was multicolored. It only existed in the time of the Mishkan, and in fact, the top of the Mishkan, when it was erected, was tachash. And then it describes the shulchan, also you take it apart, put it in this, and tcheles, and cover it with tachash. Take apart the mizbeach, and cover with this material, and in the very top, you cover with tchelis. All of the kelim of the Mishkan were covered in two layers. Two layers. Tchelis, or argaman, or tolashani. If you look at each pasuk, each utensil, a different color garment, material used to cover the... And then on top of the tchelis, the argaman, or the tolashani, argaman was purple, tolashani is red, Tchelis is blue. On top of that, you cover it with with tachash. One exception. The only utensil that the order was reversed was Torah. The oroin was covered first with tachash, and on top of the tachash, you put the tchelis. So the question is why? Why is the order reversed? Why do we reverse the order regarding the oroin and cover it in the opposite way? Whereas when it comes to the other utensils, we first put the other type of material first, and the top we apply the tchelis. We brought it to our Tachash. So there are many different answers to this question. I want to just suggest one simple answer. Chazal tell us about the Tachash. It was called Targum translates or Tachash in at the parashah, the Trumah, the Truma, Sos Goina. And Rashi explains what is the significance of the word Sos Goina. Sos, this creature, this animal, it takes pride. Gavona means color. It takes pride in its beautiful colors. It's like a peacock. It has a lot of, this animal has, its hide is multicolored. It's not just that the hide is multicolored. The animal is a balgaiva. I don't say balgaiva is not the right word, but it says, that's what Rashi says, sus. It has pride. Look at me. I'm not your ordinary guy. I'm someone very special. Look what I got. Sus. It is a creature that delights, is happy. I'm pushing the envelope a little bit, and I'm saying it means it's a shtickel gaiva. It has pride. It glorifies itself. Look what I got. Look what I got. I'm special. Gaiva. Klal Yisrael, we have everything. Hashem gave, everything that we have is all rooted in the Mishkan. Do we take pride in what we have? Do we have gaiva in what we have? To a degree, yes. We're very happy that we'd be Am HaNivchar, we're the chosen nation. But Chazal, the Torah tells us, be very, very careful with your gaiva. Before you take pride, and you take your utensils, the shulchan, which represents your wealth, the menorah, which represents chokhma, the seven branches of the menorah, Chazal tells us, represents chokhma. Before you before the mizbeach hazav, the mizbeach hanachayishas, everything that all of these the kelim they represent. Before you take the or tachash and you cover it, to take pride in what you have, not so fast. First, cover it with tcheles or argomon, whatever tcheles is. What is tcheles? Yirah Shemayim, right? Tcheles, demel yam, and yam demel urikia, urikia demel kisya covered. Uriisim also zechayt refers to Yirah Shemayim. Before you take pride in all of the things that Hashem has given you, you know, first be responsible. First learn the lesson of what this is about. And then you can pride yourself. There's one exception. And that is the Oroin. The Oroin represents Torah. Shavuos. Matan Torah. Hashem says, you know that? Right away. Take pride, that's right. Feel proud and special that Hashem has given you the Torah. It's a pasuk. What does it say in the Torah? What does it say in Yirmiyah? What is the Torah? Al yishalel al yishalel chocham b'chochmasai. The al yishalel ha-gibar b'gvurasai. Al yishalel osher b'oshroi. Kiyim b'zois Yishalel Hamishalel Haskel V'yadoya Oisi. You want it? Taurus Pas says Yirmiyah. Wait, let me finish that. Haskel, be wise, V'yadoya Oisi. That's what you should take pride in. Beferush Pasik in Yirmiyah. Ki im Bizois Yishalel Hamishalel. This is what you should take pride in. Haskel, to be wise, the Yodoya Oisi. How do you know Hashem? How do you become wise and know Hashem? There's only one way. The Chochmas HaTorah. That's Poshut. Asher Bochav, when we call him, the Nosalonu is Torah Soi. This is what Ki Mizos Yishalel HaMishalel. What is the Tachash? It's Sos Goina. Sos Begavonim Shaloi. This creature takes pride in its beauty. All the kelim of the Mishkan, not so fast. Al yishalel hachocham b'chochmasai. Maybe that's the menorah, all the seven branches of wisdom according to the Medrash. Al yishalel the osher b'oshroi, the shulchan is ashirus. Al yishalel gibor b'gvurasai, the mizbech. Is there gibor? HaKoivesh is Yitzroi, sacrifice. Okay, the Mizbeach represents Gevura. What is Gevura? Real Gevura? Real Gevura is not to kill, it's allow yourself to be killed. Okay, it's control, it's sacrifice. Don't, all of the Kalim of the Mishkan, the Chochmah of the Menorah, the Ashiris of the Shulchan, the sacrifice, the Gevura of the Mizbeach, don't put the Or Tachash directly upon these items. There must be a buffer. There must be a buffer of Yerushalayim. Whatever our Gomon to Lashoni represents, these items must buffer. Then, only then, can you have the Or Tachash. Then, but when it comes to the Torah, Haskel, the Adoya, or you see the Mokoyim Hashroas Hashchina, you put the Saskoina directly on top of the Ark.
Then you put something else on top.
Okay, in a Chanam, you need two coverings for whatever reason, but you can directly come to taking pride. There is no hefsek between the Saskoina and the item. Unlike all of the other Kalim where there's a buffer in between, because the Pasuk says, Al Yishalal, Ki Mizois Yishalal Hamishalal. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea. Okay, let's talk about a little bit about Shavuos. Shavuos is called the Yoim HaBikurim. Why is Shavuos called the Yoim HaBikurim? The day of the first fruits, correct? We bring on Shavuos. The mitzvah, the Torah gave us a mitzvah of Bikurim. In Parashas Kisava, with very detailed description of what should be done, we discussed this week, is a very elaborate ceremony where a person, he goes into the field when the fruits begin to ripen and he puts a blade around the first fruits, and then as the fruits ripen, he takes it, puts it to a basket, he makes a trip to Yerushalayim, and everyone, when he comes and he takes a beautiful basket of gold or silver, and he decorates the basket with the fruits, and he puts white birds on top of it, and they walk up to Yerushalayim, and anyone who sees him coming, they stop, and they greet him, and there's musical instruments, a beautiful ceremony, they come to the Beis HaMikdash, they put it in front of the Mizbeach, you recite the Vidu, you recite the Amira, which we elaborate upon on the Haggadah on Pesach, and then you put it before the Mizbeach, you bow down, and you leave. When does that mitzvah begin? It begins on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And in fact, that is the only thing the Torah tells us about Shavuos. For the common man, it's the only thing that there is. In the Beis HaMikdash, they brought a special korban. They brought the Omer. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim would bring a special korban tzibur. They brought, I don't know, they brought the Shtei HaLechem, so the Shtei HaLechem, accompanied by the Shalmei Atzeres, two Shlomim. It's the only time a carbon shalom is a carbon sibur, and they are the Shtei HaLechem, made from chometz. All right, but this was done behind closed doors. This was done for the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. It's matter in the Beis HaMikdash, it's matter chodosh in the Mikdash. Fine, it's all. We have many, many psukim describing the significance and the beauty of the Shtei HaLechem and the Shalmei Tzibur that accompany the Shtei HaLechem, and there's a whole Masechta Menachos deals with all of the details of what it looked like, the shape, the size, some chametz, the significance of why this is the conclusion of the Sfiras Oimer, connects us back to Pesach when we brought the Oimer. Beautiful, beautiful. But for the common man, there is no mitzvah. The common man, what does he bring? What does he do on Shavuos? Torah says, "Uviyoyim habikurim, biak rivchem mincha chadosh olashem b'shavuos eichem." Shavuos is the beginning of when you makayim the mitzvah of bringing first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, very nice. What about zman matan Torah seinu? Isn't it happened to work out that Vav Sivan, which is the 50th day of Pesach, happens to be zman matan Torah seinu? Oh, that's very interesting. What a coincidence. What a coincidence. Interesting. Okay. So in the Nusach HaTfilah, you can throw in a bonus. Zman Matan Torah Seinu. What do you mean? Torah is everything. It's everything Torah. Our whole life is kihein chayenu v'arech yameinu. From the moment a person is born, it's all about Torah. Klal Yisrael. Nothing, no mention? Nope, no mention. It's a coincidence. It's mamish a coincidence. Unbelievable. The Torah says Pesach. I'm not joking. It's like, really, that's how it is. The Torah says that on Pesach, you bring the carbon oimer, mimachanas ha-shabbos, and you count 50 days. And 50 days, you bring the shtei ha-lechem. And when you bring the shtei ha-lechem, it's a yomtif. And you sell, it's a yomtif. And don't do malacha. Just samachta, or have to take a day off from work and rejoice, and you're done. That's it. Zman matan Torah seinu. Everything, the whole world was waiting for this day. If Klal Yisrael would not have said Nasa v'nishma, if Hashem would not, Hashem came down to this world, do you understand what happened on this day? Not a peep, not a mention, not a word. And when we celebrate Shavuos, we only celebrate because we don't have Bizman Azeh Shtei Lechem. We don't have Bizman Azeh Bikurim. So Bizman Azeh, it's all about Matan Torah. So there are two things I want to say. Number one is, that's exactly the point. This exactly sets the tone of what Torah is. We lay on Shavuos Megillas Rus. One of the most significant, it's a long Megillah, it's not a short Megillah, it's not so short. It's very hard. You know, if you read from a klaf, it's very hard because there are so many kri v'chsifs. You have to mamash memorize the whole Megillah if you want to be a mumche in laying Megillas Rus from a klaf and parchment. To me, there are two words in the Megillah that really captures my attention. And they are, when Rus comes to the field and she meets up with Boaz, Pasuk says, Vayiker Mikre. It was a chance event. It doesn't say once, Vayiker. Vayiker Mikra. Here we have the story of Machla and the Chilion, Rus and Orpah, Naomi, they come back, they're poor. Like you could, there are dime a dozen stories like this. Okay? Dime a dozen. Come back, they're poor, they're destitute, there were no social programs, there was no welfare, no handouts. They go schnar, they go to a field like mamash, a beggar of beggars. Pathetic, pathetic situation. They go there, and the Torah says, the Navi says, Vayiker Mikre. It was a chance occurrence. Happened to be the person who owns the field was Boaz. And Boaz happened to take note of this young lady, Rus HaMoaviah, was very impressed with her mannerism, so the way she conducted herself with dignity, nobility, and one thing led to the other, a Mashiach was born. The Melech HaMashiach was born. And all started with Vayiker Mikre. Those two words are key. That's the pivot which the whole Yom Tov circles on, hinges on. Vayiker Mikre. There's nothing you can tell me in the Torah that is. You can't prove anything about Yadus. You cannot prove the existence of God. It's impossible. Impossible. That's not the way Hashem made the world. Hashem hid himself. She'omar, Chazal tell us, She'omar le'olamoy dai. Hashem made the world with a shame. Shaka on your tefillin, you have shin. Dalit Yud, Shakai, which stands for She'omar le'olamai dai. Hashem said, I do not want my name written. This world is anonymous. It's Helam Shemoi. My name is not to be written on this world. It is up to man to discover, to find, and to believe. And the only way they're going to do that is only through emuna and through appreciating that what appears to be vayiker mikre is the Yad Hashem. That's what Bechir is all about. That's what life is all about. Hashem hides himself and he demands, find me. It's a big game of hide and seek. That's what life is. You know, over here, the mikveh next door, they're raising money. Mm-hmm. Nat Kavelson, I remember him also when I was very, very little. Nat Kavelson, his son, his name is on the building, Stephen Kavelson. He always used to say that. Success of Doyvois Bakever, this life is just a big game of hide and seek. You love that idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're just playing with children. We're children, he's the adult, and he's playing with humanity, hide and seek. Hashem made the world where he's not visible. You cannot prove scientifically God exists. All these books you find in the Judaica store proving God's existence, it's all a matter of coincidences and statistics, but it's not absolute. It's not real science, because there is no real science to prove the existence of God. It's nothing more than emuna. It's vayikar mikra, to see in vayikar mikra the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know why it doesn't say in the Torah that on Vav Sivan it's Zman Matan Torah and you should celebrate? Because that's not what Torah is. Torah is, it's a coincidence. It's Vav Sivan. It's the 50th day since the bringing of the Omer. It's now the day when we bring the Shtei Halechem and the Kivsei Atzeres. And it's Uviyom HaBikurim. Oh, look at that. It also happens to be Vav Sivan. Wow, look at that. What a coincidence. What a coincidence. Vayikar Mikra. Exactly. Because that's exactly what the Torah is. Hashem is not giving you absolute proof. Hashem is presenting you in this world billions and trillions of situations of Vayikar Mikra. And it's for you to see behind the smoke screen that it's the Yad Hashem. Even the holiday, the giving of the Torah, the day when we celebrate Torah, is only Vayikar Mikra. Look at that. Look at that. A holiday, Yom HaBikurim, to bring fruits. What does a basket of fruit have to do with this holiday? What is the Shtei Alechem? And then nothing. And yet, Vayikar Mikra, Hagufa. This is what Kabbalah's HaTorah is all about. It puts you in the frame of mind. You have to be a maimon. You have to be a maimon. If you're not a maimon, then there's nothing. There's nothing. It's all emuna from beginning to end. You're not going to find satisfactory proof of God's existence without emuna. They'll write these books and books about the most amazing, amazing statistical analysis and hashkocha pratis, and that's absolute proof. No, it's not absolute proof. It's just a very big coincidence. You won the lottery. People win the lottery, okay? People win the Powerball. They win the lottery. Look at how, so that's proof. What is that proof? It was nothing. Someone's got to win, right? Someone's got to win. Really. It doesn't mean anything.
Eventually.
Okay, it doesn't. This is what Yadus is. It doesn't say that today is Matan Torah. It's nothing more than the Vilna Bikurim. And Vayikar Mikra happens to be. They say it happens to me. Hagufa. Now let's go a little bit further. I saw this something that this really, 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 really made an impression upon me. This ha'ara. Uviyom HaBikurim, this week's parasha. It's really this week's parasha. We learn about the laws of the Bechor. Those who learn now Daf Yomi, learning stuff the Bechoros. This week's parasha, we talk about the Bechor, that the service was transferred from the firstborns to the Levim, to the Kohanim, as a punishment for the Chet or Egel. It was really meant to be that the firstborns, they were the ones who were going to do the Avodah. And now, because of the Chet or Egel, so the Avodah was taken away and given to the Kohanim. And the Pasuk says, when did it exist, this entitlement, that it should have been the firstborn does the Avodah? Makas Bechoros. Ki li kol bechor bi eretz Mitzrayim, b'yoyim hi kesi kol bechor. This week's parasha, the bechor. The firstborns are mine, because on the day when I wiped out the firstborn Egyptians, I spared you. And that made you into mine. I spared your life. Pasach shemol Pesach. Yeah, quickly move.
Why did they get spared? What was the big deal? Why did
Bechor
Yisrael, they deserve to die
also? That's a different... The Malach is not Mavchin, being Tzadik L'Rosha. That's a different topic of discussion. But I need, Hine, lokachti es halevim mitoich b'nei Yisrael, tachas, in exchange, kol b'chor, petarechem b'nei Yisrael, lo yuli halevim. Why? Ki li kol b'chor. Hashem says, you're mine. You know why? B'yoim hakoisi kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim. On that day, when I wiped out all of the firstborn Egyptians, I should have wiped you out all. Wiped you out also. That's what it says. That's what it says. And I did not. And because I did not, you owe me. Big time. You owe me. You're mine. You owe me. And it would have been a privilege for you to serve me. But sorry, firstborns, you lost that privilege. You know why? Because you worship the Egel. So, goodbye. I'm giving it now to the Kohanim. Now let's take a step back. Hold on a second.
All the firstborns worship the Egel.
What?
Not all of the
firstborns worship
the eagle.
Everyone in Klal Yisrael was guilty for the eagle. Everyone. All 3 million people. Because of their silence.
Silent majority.
The eagle was only 3,000 people actively worship the eagle. Everyone else, business as usual. They went, they're doing whatever they want to do. Not my problem. No one... It didn't bother anyone. Okay, I'll give you a lot of examples of this. Let's go further. Now, here's the question. What do you mean? Over here, the pasuk tells us the firstborn is entitled to the avodah from the time of Makas Bechoros. Really? What about Yaakov and Esav? Yaakov, the Bechor already was slated to be from the Maisa Bereishis. Okay, Adam was a Bechor. Chazal didn't say that. Okay, then really it should have been Cain, but then it went to Shais. And then Noach, really, Chazal say, really should have gone to Yefes. But Noach saw that Yefes Achi HaGodol, he should have been the Bechor. But because Noach saw that Yefes is not cut out for the job, he gave it over instead to the right to be a priest to shame. Yerushalayim is a Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, who Koyin L'Kel Elyon. So we already see that before Matan Torah, a Bechor had the right. It was meant to be that a firstborn was meant to be the one who serves Hashem. It's a very fundamental question over here in this pasuk. How can the pasuk say that Kili Kol Bechor Bin Bibnei Shal Biyoyim HaKoisi Kol Bechor Biyaretz Mitzrayim? The only reason why the firstborn was really meant to do the Avodah was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved their lives at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's not true. The firstborn was meant to serve Hashem from Maisa Bereishis. Adam, we have Midrashim which tell us that Adam was a Bechor. Really, Cain was supposed to be. Esav was the Bechor. Yaakov had to go take it away from him. Shame was not meant, it was meant to be for Yefes. So Chazal talk about the firstborn was meant to be for Maisa Bereishis. So what does this mean? It's a very simple answer, a very powerful answer. And it's not my answer. I saw this in a very beautiful Sefer. I forgot the name of the Sefer. It's a new Sefer. I have her lying around. It's not night. And he says this incredible important Yisrael. I want to apply now to Shavuos. And the Yisrael is a very fundamental difference. Before Matan Torah, before Makas Bechoros, for that matter, Makas Bechoros, that's right, a Bechor is entitled. And that is his entitlement. However, if he wants to give it away. It's your entitlement. But if you want to be a nice guy, you know what? You can be the Bechor. Cain was supposed to be the Bechor. Cain did an Avera. He killed Hevel. So that's it, Cain, you're out. Okay, a Cain who murders can't do Dochen. You're out. So it was taken away from Cain and given to Shais. Okay, version 2 of man. Shais. Esav was supposed to be the Bechor. Yaakov said, this guy Esav, no way. He's not cut out for the job. Let me buy it off him. Who says Esav can sell it? Who says he can sell it? Who says once Cain is out of the picture, who says that Shais takes over? If Yefes is not eligible to be the Bechor, who says shame can take over? You can. That's the way it works, like money. You have the money, you get Pishnah, and you want to give away your money to your younger brother, because on the hate.
So Yaakov had the right to take it away?
Yeah, he could purchase it, absolutely. He can purchase it 100%. Just like it was transferred from Cain to Shace, even though Shace is not the firstborn. And just like Noach took it away from Yefes and gave it to Shem, Yaakov has the right to legally acquire it from Esau. So what changed? What changed now is, all of those situations, it was your natural right, it can easy come, you want to give it away. But here, by Makas Bechoyrois, before Makas Bechoyrois, all of the firstborns were going to be the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. But you know something? Before Makas Bechoyrois, if someone would come along to a Bechor and say, here's $1 million, can you sell me your firstborn right? You sit home, and I'll go to the Beis HaMikdash and replace you. Could that be true? Yes. The moment before Makas Bechoyrois, every firstborn was slated to be the coin of the Beis HaMikdash. But if a Yisrael would come and would say, I'll make a deal with you. Let's make a deal. I'll give you something. You stay home and I'll take your place. You can do it. What happened? The Ribbono Shel Olam saved the lives of the firstborns. Hashem did the firstborns a very big toiva, a favor for them. He did them a toiva, an incredible toiva. So now the firstborn said, you know something? We can't give it away now. We are indebted to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Makas Bechoyrois changed the equation. It's not just our entitlement. It's our duty. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us the toiva of saving our lives and killing the Egyptians and allowing us to live, we have an obligation to reciprocate. And the first reciprocation is no more can there be, let's make a deal. Before Makas Bechoyrois, it's your entitlement. But if you want to give it away, gezun to hate. But when the Ribbono Shel Olam did you the chesed, did you the toiv of saving your life, that entitlement now turns into your duty. You can never, ever give it away. This is your duty to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Your obligation, there's nothing you can do to give it away. Unfortunately, we crossed the red line with the Egel, and it was taken away against our will. Now, here we come to the Mamash finish. Okay, one more minute. Shavuos is called the Yom HaBikurim, first fruits. But the word Bikurim also means the day you were inducted into being a firstborn. Bikurim comes from the word Bechor. Uviyom HaBikurim, the day the Jewish people became a firstborn. The day of their induction into being a Bechor. Hashem told Moshe, go tell Paro, Bini Bechori Yisrael. Until Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael, we're Hashem's Bechor. Hashem has to go, Hashem, we're the Bechor. Bechor gets Pishnayim. But until Matan Torah, you know what Klal Yisrael could have said to the Umos Olam? Let's make a deal. You give us America, you can have the Bechorah. You can have Yerushalayim. Until Matan Torah, B'ni Bechorah Yisrael, we're the firstborn. It's our entitlement. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, it's our entitlement. But if a nation would come to Klal Yisrael and say, let's make a deal, we'll give you America, you give us Yerushalayim, we'll build the best nation, we'll be the Am HaNifchar. Okay, for enough money, you can buy a Soini Betza. Okay, I'll make a deal. When Hashem gave us the Torah, He came down from the Shemayim, and He gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. It's no longer our entitlement. It's our duty. The Bechor has been qualitatively transformed from a Bechor that It's my entitlement, but I can give it away to a Bechor. You ain't going nowhere. This is your obligation, your duty in life. You are inducted into the service whether you like it or not. Shavuos is called the Yom HaBikurim. It's version 2 of Bechor. Pesach was version 1. Bini Bechori Yisrael. Shavuos is the Yom HaBikurim. The day when we became a Bechor once again, a second time. We were in, what do you mean? We already were a Bechor. You can't be a Bechor twice. Yes, you can. Just like the firstborns before Makas Bechorois could give it away, V'haraya Adam, V'haraya Kayin, V'haraya Yefes, V'haraya Esav. But the moment after Makas Bechorois, there's no giving it away. You're mine. You owe it to me. So to Shavuos, the Din Bechor was upgraded to a whole new level where Klal Yisrael, we are the Am HaNivchar whether we like it or not. And it ain't going nowhere. And there's nothing you can do to take away that status. It's there forever. And the duty, the obligation we have to be the Am HaNivchar to be true to the Torah is eternal, cannot be tampered. May we be Zoiche, Kabbalah Satorah, to what it says at the end of the Haftarah of tomorrow, Ve'erastich li li'olam, Ve'erastich li v'chesed, Mishpod v'chesed v'rachamim, Ve'erastich li be'emuna, V'yodat es Hashem. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful Yom Tov. We'll be back on Tuesday morning.